Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We're going to read and discuss Canto 12, Chapter 3, Text 51.
Kalir
Doshanidhe Rajan Astihyeko Mahanguna Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Brajet Kalehe, of the age of Kali, Dosha Nidhe, in the ocean of faults, Rajan, O king, Asti, there is, he, certainly, Ekaha, one, Mahan, very great, Gunaha, good quality. Kirtanat, by chanting. Eva, certainly. Krishnasya, of the holy name of Krishna. Muktasangaha, liberated from material bondage. Transcendental spiritual kingdom. Vrajet, one can go. Translation, my dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. Purport. After mentioning the innumerable faults of this age of Kali, Shukadeva Goswami now mentions its one brilliant aspect, just as one powerful king can kill innumerable thieves, one brilliant spiritual quality can destroy all the contamination of this age. It is impossible to overestimate the importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Especially in this fallen age. I see some people who are with us this morning that weren't with us yesterday. So, first of all, welcome. And this morning's class is connected to yesterday's class. For those of you that weren't here, we'll attempt to make a connection. And for those of you that were here yesterday, help you see the connection, the I don't know how far back to go. In the morning class, we discussed accessing Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So let us turn our attention to the altar for a moment. There's, on our left, on the altar's right, is Shishi Gornatai. Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. And although you don't see, it's there. Imagine, if you can't see otherwise. Srimad Bhagavatam. The physical manifestation of Srimad Bhagavatam is perhaps in your home, or it's in the gift shop, or it's at click, 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 krishna.com, or it's at the BBT warehouse. We discussed, just shared yesterday, just one temple inspired by Jaishekhar Prabhu distributed 250 sets of Srimad Bhagavatam. I mean, I really like that offering that they made to Prabhupada. Well, it was for Bhaktivinoda Thakur's 100th anniversary of his disappearance. They became really inspired to make an offering to him because it's directly connected to Lord Chaitanya, we'll discuss. Accessing Lord Chaitanya's mercy. What did Lord Chaitanya come to give? He appeared in this world to give the process of chanting the holy name, but specifically, Shuddhanam. And through Shuddhanam, access to Braja Prema, that which no other incarnation has ever offered before. That's our prayer, isn't it? Namo Maha Vadanyaya. Krishna Prema Pradayate. Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya. Namni Gora Twishe Namaha. Although he came to give that very special thing. Vraja Prema. Krishna Prema in the mood of the residents of Vraja. Through the medium of the chanting of the holy name. And to get access to the holy name, the Shuddha Nama, the pure holy name, we need to access that mercy that he came to give. And he gave that the teachings upon which Lord Chaitanya based what he taught, as well as the delivery of the holy name, finds its root. Finds its root where? In Srimad Bhagavatam. He didn't just pull something out of the air and say, hey, here's some nice teachings. It's rooted in Srimad Bhagavatam, or it's the exposition. His teachings are the exposition of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the commentary on Vedanta Sutra, which is the summation of all the Vedas. So the Vedas also teach the same thing, but he made it readily available. So accessible that anybody, literally anybody, can chant the holy name. Even if you can't speak, you can chant in your mind. People sometimes ask, what about people that are deaf? But, you know, they can also hear. The soul can hear. It's the spiritual ear, not just these. This very fortunate tree who's been here since 1980, in the 80s? This guy? No? He came after, I'm Mitra Sain. This tree came after you? Well, there's a tree. There's two trees. There's a tree. Bhajan Kutir of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. A pilu tree. You'll make little pilu fruits. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur used to have conversation with the tree because the tree disclosed in his previous life he was a brahmana who underwent austerity so he could take birth on the banks of Radha Kund and Shama Kund and behold the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur revealed he would have conversations with that tree on Krishna Katha. So who knows about this guy? Anybody knows how to have conversation with this tree? You tell us what he has to say about. At least he's the recipient of good fortune. Thank you very much for giving me access to the holy name. Please chant more. Please chant more. And side by side with chanting is the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the basis for the Yuga Dharma. and what we're having this festival of the Holy Name about. As the end of the purport says, it's especially important in this age of Kali. We should understand the Holy Name had its presence in all of the yugas. It's not like people didn't chant in other yugas. For example, Dhruva. In addition to the process of meditation that he was given by Narada, then this is Satya Yuga, he was given a mantra, isn't it? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva. Vasudevaya. That's Krishna. So at Satya Yuga, he was chanting the holy name, etc. But it's especially important in this age of Kali, as the verse indicates, this age of Kali is an ocean of faults, dosha nidhe. Dosha means fault, or like bad, or yuck, or, you know, degradation. The lower modes of nature are overabundant. You know, urban population knows it very well. Those of you that live in the suburbs, it's not like the modes of nature aren't there. But it's the intensity is very, very visible. Ignorance, just go for a walk. Lots of ignorance. And passion, intense activity. Go, 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 go. Those of you that drove here, maybe those, some of you came this morning, but those of us that came, you know, just getting here, everybody's out in about, it's holiday season to go and enjoy. And, I mean, there's so many examples. Maybe some of you visited the Brooklyn Temple. Once upon a time, it was more of a mode of ignorance place. Now it's becoming more of a passion place. Right outside my window is a 15-story, 5-star hotel going up. And it's like, you know, the wall is, I look out the window and I can touch the wall. I can't see the sunlight anymore. It's the street. It used to be a parking lot. It's going to be a 15-story residential building. Those of you that have been to the Brooklyn Temple, you go across the street, Nevin Street, Govinda, Nevin Street, and there used to be, down there was a Motor Vehicle Bureau, DMV. That's gone. And then the parking lot that was past that is also now part of a 52-story apartment building. So costly. The Rama Bhadra was sharing with me, the developer is laughing. He said, I'm going to set the standard. Single bedroom, $2,500. Two bedroom, $3,200. It was like Manhattan in Brooklyn. And then, you know, what used to be the parking lot, you know, the municipal parking lot on the corner, it's sold. And they're going to do the same thing. Passion. You like it's noise and congestion and passion. Abundant. And we're, you know, we're trying to become Krishna conscious. And then our dependence, you know, when as we're whatever age we are, there's young people, children and young devotees, and so what's the relief from this ever increasing? It's like a whirlpool, like vortex, you know, that goes like this. And if you place something at the edge of a whirlpool, it goes around and around slowly, but then it moves towards the center, and it goes faster, and it goes faster, and it goes faster, and then shoo, it's gone. Right? That's the age of Kali. Ignorance and passion increase. Goodness diminishes from the first canto Bhagavatam. Prayinau payushakshavya kalavasmin yugejana manda, just so the manda means bad. Manda sumanda, that means very bad. Matayo manda bhagya upadrata. Another manda, triple manda, and sumanda. The sages of Naimisharanya ask Sutta Goswami, this age of Kali is so bad. People are lazy. Their duration of life is shortened. Their interest in spiritual anything is diminished. And even if they have some spiritual interest, they're misguided. Cheating, something or other comes along. I was at the University of Illinois in Champaign-Urbana, made some presentation on, I think the topic was sacred sounds and the necessity for us, for spiritual elevation, to connect with sacred sounds and the process of meditation on those sounds elevates consciousness and gives us protection. That was the topic. And at the end, three students came up. This is like a little piece of information. Young people today, in colleges and otherwise, have an inclination for asking about spirit more than the past three decades. That's my experience. So one of them came up and said, yeah, I really like what you said. But I have a question. What's that? I really like meditation. I really feel there's this higher reality and I can sometimes connect with that through meditation, but it's really hard for the mind to stay fixed in meditation because it's Kali Yuga. You know, the mind is so disturbed and agitated. It goes somewhere very quickly. So the other person standing next to him, one of the other three people, two people, said, oh, I've got just the thing. There's this thing on the internet, and you put a little device in your ear, and it frequency moves in a certain way, and it helps you in your meditation. Oh, really? What's that? Etc. Persons that do have some interest, so much cheating, etc., 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 etc. It's like it's endless. So the answer of the Bhagavatam given by the sages of Naimisharanya, where have religious principles taken shelter? Well, first the question is, can you give the essence of all the Vedas, please? Because people in this age aren't going to be able to do that. So he gives the essence. And then another question is, after Krishna's departure, because this is taking place after Krishna's departure, where will religious principles take shelter? Where is that place where you and those that are dear to you and your dependents, you know, the little ones that are depending upon you, what to do to her? And the answer is Srimad Bhagavatam. And in Srimad Bhagavatam gives the teachings whereby Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving the Yuga Dharma. And it's in the section that we're reading. And then even these, the purport says, and their topic today is how holy name destroys the contamination of the age of Kali. The potency is there for that, provided we listened carefully yesterday to access that descending mercy properly. And we discussed, for those of you that were with us, Shikshastakam 3, or we'll do it again at 11 o'clock today, the song from Gitavali by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he's teaching through song the same message as Shikshastakam 3. Gurudev, Kripa Bindu Diya, etc. We'll repeat that today. So that's the review, and our topic is how Nama Prabhu destroys the contaminations of this age of Kali. And I want to make this is the application little segment. How is this going, besides it's, you know, it's nice subject matter, how is this going to help us? Well, tomorrow, we're inviting you all, to, and those that aren't here also, to participate in what we call our 32-round day. For those of you that haven't been exposed to that, normally, we, in our Hare Krishna movement, for the standard for initiation given by our founder Acharya, we chant 16 rounds a day. That's a standard for initiation given by our founder Acharya. So tomorrow we're going to invite you all to participate with us in a 32-round day. And you may find that what you're going to hear today will help you tomorrow, and then the next day, and, you know, the rest of your life. Because the theme for this particular festival of the Holy Name is permanently enhancing our relationship with Krishna through our relationship with the Holy Name. So how does it work? It works this way. That which you value is where your attention goes. I'll say it again. That which you value is where your attention goes. A miser is attached to his money. So he secures his home, so his money is safe. Or he puts his money, spends lots of time and energy, so it's invested wisely and he's not going to lose it, and all of that stuff. Or, you know, not just mother human species, but mother any species. They value, they don't have to go to mother school, they value their children, the duck and the ducklings. Or someone was describing this to me recently in an airplane ride. Somebody had gone to Alaska, and they made the mistake of getting between a mother and her baby cub. They were finished, because, I mean, bears aren't, you don't mess with bears, but don't get between the bear and the baby cub. They were mauled, they were destroyed. I had this experience. I was visiting a devotee in Westchester County. It's just north of New York City, just north Westchester County. And they had a little pond behind their house, and so they were showing me the flowers around the pond, and I went in the back, and I saw a duck with her ducklings. I didn't make anything of it. I just was going to look at the pond and the flowers around the pond. Mother duckling didn't like me getting so close to her ducklings. She turned her head like this, and her tongue went out like this, and she started running at me, making this loud sound. I ran. And I jumped up on the steps of the back porch, and she stood there and went, you know, "You don't get near my ducklings. You got it? Got it. No problem." So that which we value is where our attention goes. Or Yam yam vapi smaran bhavam chajatante kalevaram, verse from Bhagavad Gita, is whatever you remember at the ante kale, at the time of death, that state you will attain without fail, because your mind goes to that which is important to you, that which you value. So anybody want to volunteer and raise their hand and say, I like suffering. It's my favorite. Give me more suffering. We don't. And Kali has too much. Yes. A little less, please, at least. But how to go beyond all that contamination, if we have that, it's more valuable than gold or jewel or wealth or anything. So this is to give you impetus tomorrow in the 32 round day, that not just what your whole life, the trajectory of your life, can lift you above the contamination of Kali Yuga. And how do we know that? Well, by experience we can experience it, but we also know on the authority of Scripture. The primary means of deliverance for this age is the chanting of the holy name. What's the verse? Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gatiranyata. Any questions? I mean, in Sanskrit, something that's repeated three times means absolute. And it's repeated three times. And our acharyas say it means in other ages there may be other things. But in this age of Kali, there's only one thing. Eka. One. At the end, questions, okay? And then Kalo means in this age of Kali, Na Asti Eva. There is no alternative. Again, there is no alternative. Again, there is no alternative, in case you had a doubt. There is no alternative. It's the holy name. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur revealed that we don't worship Krishna alone, we worship Krishna with his Sarup Shakti, like Kishore Kishori, or Radha Krishna, Radha Shama Sundara. We worship with Radha, his Sarup Shakti. So Krishna Katha is the Sarup Shakti of Nama. And we approach Nama through the message of Srimad Bhagavatam, because the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna Katha. It's exactly what Narada told Vyas to do. Just compose one literature that's just Krishna Katha. And then you'll be very satisfied. Because he was interested, Vyasadeva was interested in giving relief to the conditioned souls in the age of Kali. So he compiled the Vedas. But he was feeling dissatisfied. Why? Not sufficient Krishna Katha. So therefore Srimad Bhagavatam. It's the Sarup Shakti of Nama. So they go well together. So now we'll look again at the altar. There's Lord Chaitanya. And we heard yesterday about accessing the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And we heard some features of how to chant the name that Lord Chaitanya gave in such a way that we could access his mercy. We're going to hear some more about it at 11 o'clock. And then there's Srimad Bhagavatam. You don't see it, but it's there in the sound vibration form, because it's the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu upon which that gift of Shuddha Nam that gives Braja Prem provides us. So we're going to explore Srimad Bhagavatam this morning. So this verse is part of the final instructions of Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. In the first canto, we are introduced to Maharaj Parikshit through several chapters. Exalted pure devotee, who even before he was born, he was famous. He was the recipient of special mercy of Krishna, who protected him while still within the womb. He was so dear to Krishna, even before he did anything. The world knew he's dear to Krishna. And the whole chapter giving the astrologers, expert astrologers, forecast, prediction of the life of Maharaj Parikshit. And he fulfilled everything. He was a perfect devotee. Now, how does somebody so exalted have misfortune? We're not perfect devotees, and we get misfortune. Yes, we discussed it yesterday. He had this terrible misfortune. He was cursed to die. He made a mistake. It was not right what he did, although it was induced. According to our acharyas, it was induced by Krishna that he would be overcome by thirst and he would be overcome by anger. Then he would speak harsh words, and then he would decorate a brahmana who was in meditation with a dead snake instead of a garland. Very bad. Sudurachar, very bad activity. And he was cursed by the son of that Brahmin to die in 7 days by the bite of a snake bird, a mystical thing. There's no such thing, species, but it was a mystical thing. A great misfortune coming to a great personality. But within that misfortune, as with our misfortune, if we're Krishna conscious, misfortune has its fortune. In Maharaj Parikshit's case, at least two. One, he was to be the recipient, first recipient of the message of Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Because he was qualified. So Krishna wanted him to be the qualified recipient, and Krishna wanted to take him to the spiritual world quickly. And so he was delivered to the spiritual world by Krishna through this misfortune, great fortune. So upon receiving his misfortune, he processed it this way. When you have some more misfortune, consider. He processed it this way. There must be a plan of the Supreme Lord. I don't know what is that plan of the Supreme Lord, but I accept it. It's faith in Krishna's very kind. I accept it. I've done something that is a wrong deed. Krishna has full privilege to give me what I require for that wrong deed so I can correct myself. If he chooses this one, I accept. And he accepted. Fully from his heart, he accepted. So he relinquished his kingdom, his royal crown, his royal garments, his royal throne. He turned over the kingdom to his son, Janamejaya, and took the garments of a mendicant. The king becomes a mendicant and sits on the bank of the sacred river and calls all the sages to give their association to prepare him for leaving. And when they all come together, we discussed this briefly yesterday, but we'll repeat it again. He offers his prayers of appreciation to the brahmanas and sages who have come, and makes three requests of them. The first one is rati for Krishna. Rati is another name for bhava. Feelings of affection and love. He requests their blessings for that. Then he also asks for the association. May I always have the association of devotees of the Supreme Lord, because in their association I will hear Krishna Katha and the holy name of Krishna. Please bless me with that association always. And the third is he requested friendly relation with all living beings. If you remember from yesterday, I'm sure you do, that sakale samana, we're going to hear it again at 11 o'clock if you forgot, sakale samana, or manadena in Shikshastakam, manadena, the power, please invest in me the power to properly respect all living beings. Why is that important? If you have already rati for Krishna and the association of devotees that are engaging in nama sankirtan and Krishna katha, you know, the heck with everybody else, right? Let them rot, because I've got, it's not okay. It's essential. It's not optional. It's essential in Lord Chaitanya's teachings that one has affection and proper respect for all living beings, especially, certainly, devotees, because then with that mana dana or sakale samana, one can access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And we can access the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, we can access Shuddha Nam. And if we can access Shuddha Nam, then we can access Braja Prema. So, first cant, Maharaj Parikshit is giving this message, which Lord Chaitanya also taught from Srimad Bhagavatam and expanded on by our great acharyas. When he's with the sages after making this request, Shukadeva Goswami comes. And all the sages stand. They had never seen him before, never met him before. He's a 16-year-old boy. But just his presence was so awesome. Immediately, by his presence, they could understand his qualification. And so they stood out of respect. And he was offered the Vyasasana, the special seat of Vyas, the son of Vyas, Shukadeva Goswami. And again, Maharaj Parikshit offered his prayers and made these two requests. What is the duty of the person who is about to die? And it's not just Maharaj Parikshit, because he knows he's going to die in 7 days. We are also going to die, just in case you forgot. And we need to know what is our duty when we know that we're going to die. It's for us, it's not just for him. The question is being asked. And the second is, what is that subject matter that should always be heard and chanted throughout one's life? Because that which you hear and chant is what you become attached to, is what you're going to think of at the time of death. First canto ends. Second canto begins. In three chapters, Shukadeva Goswami answers those two questions. So Srimad Bhagavatam could have ended. Canto 2, chapter 3, over. But it's not, because within the answer comes so many other questions. The subject matter is, one chant to remember, Shotravya Kirtitavyasya Dyeya Pujasta Nityada. Krishna Katha. So Maharaj Parikshit says, Krishna Katha, please. A big supply. Put a bunch on my plate. Krishna Katha. And he asks, specifically, interestingly, about how the Lord engages in the process of creation. And then answers and questions and answers and questions, and the forms of the Lord that appear within this world, which was another one of the questions from the first chapter, there addressed by Shukadeva Goswami because of Maharaj Pariksit's questions. And we go on through 8 cantos, and we find ourselves in the 9th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, where the subject matter is specifically the lineage of kings from the Sun Dynasty and the Moon Dynasty. Ramchandra appears in the Sun Dynasty, and Krishna appears in the Moon Dynasty. And it comes towards the end of the 9th canto. And, whoa, Maharaj Pariksit's interest becomes really spiked. He wants to hear about Krishna. So the 10th canto, 90 chapters, is just about Krishna. And then the 11th canto, this is like Bhagavatam overview, by the way. The 11th canto begins where Narada Muni goes to visit Dwarka, where Krishna was residing in Ugrasena and the Aru dynasty. And he meets Vasudeva, Krishna's father. And Vasudeva asks Krishna a question. Narada Muni, he said, I'm such a fool, humility. I'm such a fool. I'm such an unfortunate person that I haven't even asked about liberation. So can you describe something to me about liberation, please? So in 3 chapters, Narada Muni says, oh, this is such a nice question. It was talked about long ago when the Navayogendras, the 9 sons of King Rishabhdev that became Mahabhagavata Vaishnavas, they were traveling about the universe and they happened to come to a place where King Nimi was performing a sacrifice. And even in the midst of the sacrifice, as the Navayogendras came into the scene, he immediately could feel, these are awesome people, and he just stopped the sacrifice. Just stood up and greeted them and received them and started asking questions. Just as Vasudeva had asked Narada Muni in 3 chapters. It's very high philosophy. And then following that, we find Uddhava going back to Canto 3, Chapter 1, where Krishna has been speaking with Uddhava. So Maharaj Pariksit remembers Canto 3, Chapter 1, and says, could you describe what was that conversation between Krishna and Uddhava, please? And so, a whole bunch of chapters, starting with chapter 6, is Uddhava Gita. Fantastic section of the Bhagavatam. And then when that discussion is over, there's just 2 more chapters left in Canto 11, and that's Krishna's departure. Very sad and mysterious also. End of Canto 11. Bhagavatam's over, right? Because Krishna has departed. It's not over because Shukadeva Goswami, Maharaj Pariksit, is still alive. He's almost at the end of the 7 days. So he, Maharaj Pariksit, goes back to where the 9th canto ends, where the lineage of kings that lead up to Krishna's appearance, and he begins there at the beginning of the 12th canto and asks, what happened after that? You know, the kings. Because when Krishna leaves, it marks the end of Dwarpa Yuga and the beginning of the bad one. Our present one, Kali Yuga, begins. And so the first chapter of Canto 12 is the description in detail of the degradation of the corrupt kings. Because going back to the first canto, it begins the degradation, the influence of Kali comes when the Brahmana Shringi, who is the son of Shamakrishi, who was insulted by Maharaj Parikshit, Shringi misuses his brahminical power. He's powerful, and not having character, he misuses something powerful. Sound familiar? Something powerful in the hands of a person with character. And now consider technology for a moment. Something powerful in the hands of persons that don't have character. Very dangerous. Very dangerous. The would-be brahmanas of today that have something powerful because they have the intellect to do subtle things, they do subtle things, and they don't have character, or put it in the hands of people that do have character because they get some money for their intellect and they produce something that people that don't have character have funded, and they do horrible things. Yes? Isn't that what's going on? But it starts with Canto 1, where Shringi, powerful, he has mantras that can bring destruction to the life of an exalted personality, offend and even bring the death of Maharaj Parikshit. And following the corruption of the brahminical order comes now 12th Canto, Chapter 1. The destruction or the corrosion and corruption of the kings. Because up to Maharaj Parikshit, they were not corrupt. And after Maharaj Parikshit, Kali is making his influence. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, this is very nice. He has a little part of his commentary where he says, even during Krishna's presence, Kali had already appeared. Because it's the Sandhi, you know, before Krishna departs, Kali is already present. And Kali went to Krishna and complained, I've taken birth, but I can't do anything in your presence. So Krishna replies, don't worry, very soon I'm going to depart and you'll have full influence. And then Kali says, yeah, but there's your devotees and they'll uphold the principles of Dharma and then I will have no influence. Because Kali is very active when there's a Dharma or the non-observance of Dharma. So Krishna said, don't worry, I'm going to take my devotees with me. He arranged for the withdrawal of the Yadu dynasty in Prabhas Kshetra. There's a whole description of that at the end of the 11th canto. And Maharaj Parikshit later. So my devotees will be withdrawn. And then Krishna goes on to say, and as Kali Yuga progresses, as your age progresses, I'm going to send one of my dearest devotees, Lord Shiva, to come in the form of Shankaracharya and teach Mayavad philosophy, and then you really have a good time. And personality of Kali rubs his hands together with glee. Ha ha. So, details of the degradation of kings. A little side sharing is, some of you may know, I'm sure some of you will know, who is Sariputta Prabhu. And certainly some of you will know who is Rabindra Swarup Prabhu. And both are brilliant personalities. And something that they shared with me that they regularly would share with one another. It was a common interest among many common interests in history. And the reason for their interest was tracing the degradation of the age of Kali through the corruption of the Brahminical order of the Catholic Church, the corruption of the priestly group, and then in turn the corruption of the kings who were in cahoots with the corrupt priestly group. The frustration with the corruption of both from the religious perspective, so the Protestant Reformation thing, and then, you know, democracy, because previously it was monarchy, became democracy. You know, and as Prabhupada has described, democracy is the influence of Kali. You know, unqualified people elect an unqualified person. Because who are they going to elect? Who is the qualified person to vote for anyways? And so it's just, you know, it's their interest was tracing historically, particularly Europe, Western Europe, and, you know, then the whole of Europe, Eastern Europe too, and all of that stuff, to our present stage. And, you know, so how did we get to where we are? It's the influence of Kali, the increase of passion and ignorance. So that's what Canto 12, Chapter 1 does. And then comes Chapter 2. And Chapter 2, I was thinking, because of time, I'm not going to do it, but I invite you, read Chapter 2, and you'll get really serious about Krishna consciousness. Because it describes therein, Vyasadeva is describing the details of at the end of the age of Kali what it will be like. And it's yikes. The horrible, extreme degree of degradation. Think about this, those of you that have been around for a while. You know, say the older generation people, specifically. The older generation people. You look at younger generation people and you go, my goodness, how things have changed. And when you, the older generation people, were young, your older generation people were looking at you and saying, oh my goodness, how things have changed. Deteriorated. Yes. And we're only at the beginning of Kali Yuga. What's the duration of Kali Yuga? 432,000 years. 5,000 have passed since this period that we're speaking about, the beginning of Kali Yuga. And just even within one generation to the next generation, how things have degraded and degraded. So what's it going to look like at the end of Kali Yuga? Grab a hold of your socks when you read Chapter 2 and reach for your head at the same time. My God. It's shocking. You'll get really serious about your Krishna consciousness. Similar to the final chapters of fifth canto, the hellish planets, makes one really serious. It's not for shock effect, it's just that's reality. Then comes chapter 3. This is, we're almost done, because this is chapter 3 of 12th canto. Chapter 3 of 12th Canto is called Bhumi Gita, where Mother Earth, as she had approached, same Mother Earth, Bhumi, had approached the demigods who then went to Krishna, or Lord Vishnu, to appear and give Earth protection. So Krishna appeared. Now Krishna's gone. And Bhumi is singing her song. And it's kind of It's irony. She's laughing. And how silly. How unfortunate. How foolish men are trying to conquer me, this earth. I'm just going to read a few verses from the beginning of the chapter to warm up for this. Sukadeva Goswami said, Seeing the kings of this earth busy trying to conquer her, the earth herself laughed. She said, just see how these kings who are actually playthings in the hands of death are desiring to conquer me. Great rulers of men, even those who are learned, meet frustration and failure because of material lust. Driven by lust, these kings place great hope and faith in the dead lump of flesh called the body, even though the material frame is as fleeting as bubbles of foam on water. Kings and politicians imagine, quote, first I will conquer my mind and senses. Then I will subdue my chief ministers and rid myself of the thorn pricks of my advisors, citizens, friends, and relatives, as well as the keepers of my elephants. In this way, I will gradually conquer the entire earth, unquote. Because the hearts of those leaders are bound by great expectations. Charles Dickens, Great Expectations. They fail to see death waiting nearby. After conquering all the land on my surface, these proud kings forcibly enter the ocean to conquer the sea itself, isn't it? What is the use of their self-control, which is aimed at political exploitation? The actual goal of self-control is spiritual liberation. Shukadeva Goswami is narrating. Remember, we're heading to the final instructions given to Maharaj Parikshit. That's where this chapter ends. O best of the Kurus, the earth continued as follows, quote, earth is speaking, Bhumi Gita. Although in the past great men and their descendants have left me, departed from this world in the same helpless way they came into it, even today foolish men are trying to conquer me. For the sake of conquering me, materialistic persons fight one another. Fathers oppose their sons and brothers fight one another because their hearts are bound to possessing political power. Political leaders challenge one another. All this land is mine. It's not yours, you fool. Think of a few things that are happening in the newspaper and the world today. Thus they attack one another and die. Then he gives a list of kings, such as this one, that one, the other one, as well as many other demons and kings who possessed great powers of control over others, were all full of knowledge, heroic, all-conquering and unconquerable. Nevertheless, O Almighty Lord, although they lived their lives intensely trying to possess me, these kings were subject to the passage of time, which reduced them all to mere historical counts. None of them could permanently establish their rule. Now, Prabhupada would speak, without specific reference to these verses, about the same thing so many times. Napoleon and Hitler and Stalin and this one and that one, you know, unconquerable foes. And where are they today? Well, there's a statue of them, and then they take the statue down because somebody else doesn't like them. You know, what have they accomplished? The vicious deeds that they did to accomplish the things that was their conquest. Who knows what region of creation they're in today? And on the rest of the chapter, the despicable characteristics of the age of Kali are outlined. And then leading up to this verse, in the Kali Yuga, text 45. Well, text 44. Terrified, about to die, a man collapses on his bed, although his voice is faltering and he is hardly conscious of what he is saying. If he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be freed from the reactions of his fruitive work and achieve the supreme destination. But still, people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. In the Kali Yuga, objects, places, and even individual personalities are all polluted. The Almighty Personality of Godhead, however, can remove such contamination from the life of one who fixes the Lord within the mind. If a person hears about, glorifies, meditates upon, this is a Shrotavya Kirtitavyascha. Again, it's an answer to that same question from Canto 1, the end of Canto 1. Hear about, glorify, meditate upon, worship, and simply offers great respect to the Supreme Lord who is situated within the heart, the Lord will remove from his mind the contamination accumulated during many thousands of lifetimes. This fire applied to gold removes any discoloration caused by traces of other metals. Lord Vishnu within the heart purifies the minds of the yogis. By engaging in the process of demigod worship, austerities, breath control, etc., etc., same doesn't happen. Therefore, tasmat, sarvatmana rajan, O king, endeavor with all your might to fix the Supreme Lord Keshava within your heart. Maintain this concentration upon the Lord, his final instructions. And at the time of death, you will certainly attain the supreme destination. My dear king, the personality of Godhead is the ultimate controller. He is the supreme soul and the supreme shelter of all beings. When meditated upon by those about to die, he reveals to them their eternal spiritual identity. In case you're curious, like Mataji was asking about the material personality, spiritual personality. This is how to access that eternal spiritual personality. It's revealed to you by Krishna directly, if you're qualified, by your fixing your consciousness upon him through the agency of chanting his holy name. So now that's then this verse. My dear king, although Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, there is still one good quality about this age. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, one can become freed from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. All the contaminations of this age are destroyed. The potency is there. Again, that which we value is where our attention goes. Not all the complications and, you know, anomalies and hardships and unfair treatment, you know, and the list is too long. Don't place your attention there. That's asat. Basic instruction of Bhagavad Gita chapter 2. Nasate vidyate bhavo na bhavo vidyate sataha. The tattvadarshis understand it. So become a tattvadarshi by withdrawing consciousness from the asat and place it upon sat, and our access to sat or the eternal in this age is especially the holy name, where your, that which you value is where your attention goes. We want to be happy. We don't want to be miserable. We don't want to be victims of this age of Kali and the onslaught of harshness and viciousness and all the Kali Yuga stuff. We don't want to be victims of that. There is a shelter, exactly what this verse is. Kalir dosha nidhe rajan. And then the last verse of the chapter, we're done, is krite yadhyayato vishnum Chaitayam yajato makai Drapare Paricharyayam Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanat. Translation: whatever result was obtained in Satya Yuga by meditation on Vishnu, in Treta Yuga by performance of sacrifices, in Dwarapa Yuga by serving the Lord's lotus feet, can be obtained in Kali Yuga simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So this is the festival of the holy name. We have a lot to celebrate. And to do it together makes it even nicer. I'm going to now point to tomorrow morning. Again, those of you that can be with us, please come together for chanting of 32 rounds in the temple room, preferably, if you can, and meditate, if you are so inspired, on this message, that whatever the conflicts that you're experiencing in life, sometimes it's too many, sometimes it's too much, sometimes it's, you know, you scream, sometimes, you know, it's just bothersome, distracting, or whatever. Leave that to the side. Come and join the 32-round day. Take shelter of the holy name together in the association of devotees, where the contaminations of the age of Kali can be literally transcended, minimized, and literally dissipated, like, in the metaphor of the Bhagavatam, like fog is dissipated by the light of the morning sun. Direct contact of the sun, niharam iva bhaskaram. The direct light of the sun dissipates fog at once. You can go pick up your troubles afterwards. They'll still be there. Unless you just continue to take nice shelter of the holy name progressively through life. So let us do that and think of the message, or carry those messages within your heart. This message of Srimad Bhagavatam is the basis of the deliverance of that gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Shudanam, so that we can access Brajaprem. There he is, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, wishing to give that to us. Kindly receive it. He'll be very happy. And you'll be very happy. Hare Krishna. Yes, your question. Thank you for being patient. Here comes a microphone so others can hear.
You were saying something like when three words in Sanskrit are repeated over, like there's
which three words?
Supreme or absolute.
Ah, okay.
Is that why the Maha Mantra has Rama and Krishna three times?
No, that's something else. Oh. It's not connected.
Okay.
Good try, though. No, but the is that your question? The verse is, I'll say it slowly, Harer Nama. Nama, you know, means name, and Harer means of Hari, Krishna. The name of Krishna, Harer Nama, stated three times. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama. Eva means certainly. Harer Nama, Harer Nama, Harer Nama. Eva, Kevalam means like, absolutely. Eva Kevalam. Kalo, in this age of Kali, you know, Chicago. In this age of Kali, Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Nasteva is a combination of na, means not, asti eva. Eva means certainly. There is another, there is no other alternative. Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Gatir means goal or destination. Anyata means other. There is no other means to reach the goal than Harir Nama. You with us? Yeah, okay. Harir Nama. You going to come tomorrow and chant with us? Fantastic. Fantastic. Huh? And you were here last night too. Nama Yagya? Pretty good, huh? Yeah, he's smiling. Yes.
Just trying to synthesize for myself the nice points you've shared with us. So is the idea that you're presenting that by the study of Srimad Bhagavatam, one will come to recognize that there is really no other shelter, and by then taking exclusive shelter of the holy names, one will dissipate the offensive tendency and come to the stage of chanting Shuddhanam, which will take one to what Lord Chaitanya came to give. Is that how to synthesize the message you're presenting?
I would beg to embellish the first part, the premise. That by chanting, by reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we will come to the conclusion that it's the shelter of the holy name. Not exactly. May I embellish? By reading Srimad Bhagavatam, we are contacting the, according to Bhaktisiddhanta's language, the Svarup Shakti of the name. And we can approach the name through the Svarup Shakti of the name. It gives us access. It's Krishna Katha, so it's many, 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 many topics. Just like one of the topics was Krishna's killing the Arista demon. Now, I tried to feature what the cowherd residents, Raja residents, did when they saw Arista, the terrible creature. They just called Krishna's name. They took shelter of Krishna. Krishna heard their call. Krishna dissipated their fear, and Krishna took care of Arista. But the package is a little bit broader than just one thing. It's the Krishna Katha combined with the holy name, as Radha Krishna. It's a little broader than what you said. Maybe what you said simplifies what I just said. But it's a little broader. You don't understand it. The essence of everything is in the name. Krishna's name is Krishna, non-different, and Krishna is everything. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the exposition on that everything. Sambandha Avideya Prayojana, exposition. Because that's what the Vedas are, and that's what Srimad Bhagavatam covers thoroughly, everything. So the teachings of Mahaprabhu are the teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sambandha Avideya Prayojana. That's what the Srimad Bhagavatam is. So it gives us all of that. The foundation for a relationship, and establishing the relationship, and acting within the relationship, and the fruit of the relationship is the whole thing in exposition. And then there's the name. So the two go together, as Radha goes together with Krishna. She gives us access to service to Krishna. That's her sweetness, her kindness, her compassion. Access to our eternal service to Krishna, which is accessed directly if we chant properly through the process of chanting. But we require Krishna Katha along with the chanting of the holy name, as we require worship of Krishna, service to Krishna through the mercy of Srimati Radharani. I hope you understand that. Bhakti Luke got his hand up. It's another mystery, how to make the microphone work.
Thanks for the class, Maharaj. You're mentioning, especially now in Kali Yuga, these modes of passion and ignorance are very, very prominent. So I was just thinking, it seems it would be very advantageous to seek out environments that were more in the mode of goodness. Would you like to comment on that?
Sure. I'll refer to our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, who gave teachings and example in both areas. For starters, it was compassion in the bowels of Kali Yuga, New York City, San Francisco. I mean, San Francisco during Prabhupada's time, yikes. Today's also very challenging. And, you know, crime city, Chicago, Las Vegas. So, why compassion? Now, was his... Maybe restate your question with a different question. Was his design just like gather up some souls that are victims of Kali Yuga in those horrible urban places and kind of like uproot them and transplant them into a mode of goodness place where they can be monastics? That wasn't his design. He did want the other. And he was very clear about the other, but it wasn't, you know, let's create it. It was another purpose. It was show by example what simple living and high thinking. It had a preaching message or mission. That's our founder Acharya. Let us teach by example in the city and not in the city. Not like, you know, let's do it. I'll give a little example. I mean, it's not like, let's do it so that when it gets really tough in the city, we got a place to, like, you know, skadoodle and hang out over there where it's not like so nasty where it's in the city. The mode of good, more mode of goodness place. That wasn't the purpose. An example of this was in a morning walk conversation in Mayapur, Prabhupada began to describe World War III. You may be familiar with that discussion. He was describing between India and Pakistan, there is tension. And Russia has sided with India and America has sided with Pakistan. So if those two go to war, then the big powers will go and join and support their people and have World War III. And Prabhupada was predicting it will soon come. And everyone was going, yikes, it's going to come. What to do? Should we stockpile supplies? Pile guns? Should we, you know, head for the hills? And Prabhupada was disgusted. And he expressed it explicitly that, you know, you don't understand, but a Vaishnav will see that as a wonderful opportunity for preaching. And then when the war is over, a wonderful opportunity for preaching. Because our life is short and that's what our mission is. And if we stay in that mood of being instruments of Lord Chaitanya, we're protected. Step out of that mood and you're not protected. So it's the protection is being the instrument, just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sending Nityananda and Haridas Thakur. And what did they understand? Let's find the most degraded people and save them. And then Lord Chaitanya will be honored and glorified. Which is what happened. Jagai and Madhai were saved. Lord Chaitanya was honored. Their mission accomplished. So, yes and no. Not for the purpose of, let's get out of here, these guys are crazy. But let's help those people that are in the misfortune of Kali Yuga and have lost connection with simple living and high thinking to show by example. You know, the reality is there are very few people that want to do that, simple living, high thinking. That's unfortunate. That's part of the misfortune. We're at a few minutes after 9, and I'd like to keep our schedule. So how about this? We'll leave a little extra time in the next session, which will begin at 11 and end at 12:30. I'll try to be more brief. I got a little carried away this morning. Nice topic. So if you have a question, hold it, write it down so you don't forget it, because it's Kali Yuga, you might forget. And we'll see you at 11 o'clock. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.